I'm going to talk about two people today, briefly. The first one is Peter. Peter as in Jesus' disciple Peter. And if you read all through Matthew 1 through 8, chapters 1 through 18, we see a lot of different things that Peter was. We see Peter being called a disciple. We see Peter walking on water with Jesus. We see him declares that Jesus is the Messiah. And then after that, Jesus rebuking Peter and being called Satan. And then after that, we see he reconciles and sees Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, hearing God's audible voice. We see Peter going through a lot of different things in the ministry with Jesus. But we see in Matthew 19, and you don't have to turn there, but we see him saying that Jesus is calling him and saying, "Do you want to leave me like the others?" And in 19, verse 27, Peter says, "We have left everything to follow you. We have left everything to follow you." A few chapters later, that same person, it says, "We have left everything to follow you," says, "I will never deny you, Lord. Even though everyone else will fall, I will not deny you. I will not disown you." Even after Jesus tells him, "You will deny me three times," Peter still says, "I will not deny you. I will not disown you." And in Matthew 26, later in the chapter, Peter did. He did disown Jesus. He lied that he wasn't with Jesus. You see, Peter had a destiny and a purpose that God had called him to be, that Jesus had called him. He had a destiny and a purpose. And it was at this point of his life, at the lowest point of his life, where he disowned Jesus because Jesus went to the cross. You can read it in Matthew 26 and further on, that he reached a point where it looked like his destiny was over. How do you get back from that? The person that you had been with for ministry in 3 years' times, that you had walked with, that you had left everything for, and then all of a sudden, things aren't what you thought they were. Jesus dies and you disown him. That's where Peter was. But we read later in John 21 that Jesus sits with Peter and reconciles him back to the fold, asking him, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And we see something that Jesus does in Peter, where Peter thought that it was it. It was over. That was the end. That was it. That the destiny was gone. The things that God was going to do in him were just gone. But we see Jesus do awesomely, as he always does, comes and meets Peter where he is in John 21. Talk to you about one more other person, Thomas. And we're going to actually turn there to John 11. So John 11. And Thomas was a disciple, of course, but a lot of us know him as Doubting Thomas. But let me ask you, does this look like a Doubting Thomas to me? We read in verse 8, John 11, verse 8. "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." They're talking about going back to see Lazarus back in Judea. And then we read on to verse, skip ahead to verse 16. "Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" Well, that doesn't sound like Thomas I've heard about. He was there. Jesus was about ready to be killed where he was back there in Judea. He went back there to go visit Lazarus, who was dead, who was going to see the glory of God raise him back to life. And then Thomas is like, no, we're going to go back and we're going to follow Jesus, even if it means our death. Then something happens to Thomas. Something happens. Jesus is dead, crucified. And in John 20, you can go ahead and turn there. John 20, we're going to read a little bit more there. John 20. We see something happens to Thomas from being that, yes, we will die with Christ. Yes, we want to, we don't care what happens to us. We're going to be with you all the way. We see that something happened to Thomas during that time. In verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas, this doesn't look like the same man who said, "I will go and follow you even to death. Let us all go down there to die with Jesus." I don't see that same person. I see a man who had his dreams dashed, just like Peter, but in a different way. A man who cannot hope for something. A man that saw his Lord and Savior on the cross and then was torn by that and saying, "I will never trust in something like that again." And then we see what Jesus does. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." We see that Jesus came through for Thomas. And he wants to come through in each and every one of our lives. There have been many moments that we've had through our lives. What maybe we had more of experience like Peter. Maybe we disowned God. Or maybe we just got caught up in different things and just ignored him. Or maybe we were like Thomas and we put our hope in God, but yet things didn't happen the way that they were supposed to. And we can't put our trust in God again. God showed me a few things about 2 weeks ago, and there are some things that are here in this congregation that are keeping us from fulfilling our destiny that God has for us, and the fulfillment of those prayers and those destinies that God has for us as a church. And one of those things is death. Now, I don't mean just the literal translation or the literal word of that, but I mean there are things in our lives that are dead. There are things that have happened that have made us dead in our walks with Christ. And some of those things could be, you know, you didn't get the job that you wanted. You didn't get that promotion. You were passed by. So you're like, well, you know, I'm not going to try my hardest anymore for Jesus. That's it. Or maybe someone died that you loved. And you're like, they were supposed to not die. They were supposed to be with me for longer. Or maybe your marriage went south. Maybe things just didn't work out the way you thought they were. You thought happily ever after, but instead it became more of a grind and felt almost like a curse at times. Maybe things happened in your family where your kids are going off doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and you're wondering, why, God? Why is this happening to me? Or maybe God let some things happen to you or someone that you know that was very close. And you're like, a loving God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't allow those things to happen, ever. Maybe it's some regrets that you have in your life. I should have done that. Or maybe it's not being fulfilled where you are today. Maybe it's like, I just don't feel His presence like I want to. I don't minister the way that I feel like I should. Maybe God's promises didn't come through in your walk. We say, yes, your promises are yes and amen, we declare it, but sometimes it feels like it hasn't happened. Maybe you had dreams or aspirations. You're like, well, one day I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this and this, and it never happened. Maybe someone that you know that was in the church, a rock or a pillar of the church, is gone. Maybe they died. Maybe they left. Maybe their leaving wasn't good. Maybe you have problems with our pastor. Or living in Pastor Al's shadow. Well, that's not the way we do things. Or maybe it's the church going in a new direction. I don't like it. Let me tell you a little story about myself. And I've seen many things that were supposed to be. My father, who was handicapped through a stroke, an accident that had happened at a hospital, a minor procedure that turned way wrong, left my father in a wheelchair with a major stroke that could only do, that he could only use part of his, he could only use the left side of his body. The right side he really couldn't use. I saw a vibrant man who actually would very much resemble Pastor Al become something so foreign to me that I barely recognized as my own father. And through it all, I heard many things. Oh, he's going to be healed. God's going to raise him up. There's going to be really things that's going to happen. And these things were in prophecy. These things were in dreams, and all these things were happening, and were told to my family, and it was all going to be wonderful. When God healed my father, things were going to come back the way that it was supposed to. I had dreams myself, preaching with my dad, going to different places, enjoying his company, because he was on the same par as a fifth grader. That's what his mental capacity was. And I was like, yes, God's going to do these things. I held on to that. I felt like that was a promise. But when he died, God said for me to let him go. God said, let him go. And that was hard. That meant my dreams couldn't happen. That meant I felt like the promises I had received were not going to come to fulfillment. All those things I envisioned with me and my father doing, just like we had done before many years ago, are now not going to happen. And I had to come to terms with that. I had to say, all right, what am I going to do now? Because if I stay where I am, thinking about this, then I'm never going to achieve the destiny and the fulfillment of that that God has for me. I'm not going to be able to move forward. You see, when we let these things, these dead things that have happened, these unmet expectations, these things that we hold on to, these precious things that we call precious, that are actually dead, when we hold on to them, they start to eat at us too. When we don't lay these things down at the feet of the cross, then this dead stuff starts to eat at us. And in turn, makes us more and more ineffective. What was dead in one area of either bitterness or anger reaches out to other people, and we display that. It creates more dead things in us. And so the gift that God has deposited us, the destiny that God has deposited us, which is so good, nobody can partake in that. No one can join you in that, because to get to that, it's a lot of death, a lot of hurt. The death will consume you slowly till only bones remain of the call and destiny that God had in store for you. If you let it, that death will consume you slowly till only bones remain of the call and destiny that God has in store for you. And it's not going to just affect you personally. No, it doesn't stop there. It affects your family. It affects your church. It affects your relationship with God. It affects you as a person. We all have things that have happened to us. We've all had very traumatic things that have happened to us where it felt like God did not come through. Something was not met the way it was supposed to. I stopped believing in God. Well, God, you can have all these areas, but not this area. This area is too precious to me. I don't know if I can truly trust you again in this area. Pastor Steve spoke it earlier with what the Lord wanted to say. All I am is yours. Can we lay down these things? If we can lay down these things, there is life and resurrection. There is life. It's not all doom and gloom. If we lay down those things, and yes, it's hard. It takes courage to lay down those things because they are precious to us. It's hard to lay down dreams and visions. It's hard to say, I can't do that anymore. But if we can lay down those things, give them to the Lord, then God can do something awesome. God can do something awesome in our walks, in our lives with us. We can stop looking for the death in a tomb and realize that God's going to do something. He's going to bring us a Pentecost. So what I'd like to do, Stacy, if you would mind on the piano, please. I want to give all of us a chance to say, God, and I don't know what it is. I don't know whatever it is. It could be many different things. But there's a point where you have to say, God, this hurts. I've hung on to this, and now it's producing death in my walk with you. It's producing death in my life with you. It's not building up to the church. It's not building me up as a fellow believer. It's bringing me down. And we can keep going in that direction. We can stay where we are. Now listen to me. You can stay where you are with that death. You can stay where you are and keep it there. But you will not receive the fullness or the freedom that God has in store for you. And it will start affecting every part of your life. If we could all just stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I want to give you some time with the Lord. And sometimes something like this, something so traumatic, requires something more than just the regular thing. If you believe that God has spoken to you today, and I know he's been speaking all throughout the service, if you believe that is you, and you want to lay down whatever that thing is, if you have the courage, and God will give you the courage, to lay down that thing and be free from it and release it to him, no matter how painful, no matter what has gone on, then I want you to come forward. Sometimes it takes an act of courage to do what you have to do to let God really intervene on your lives. If you believe that God wants you to lay that thing down, and you know what I'm talking about, and it has been something that you really just don't want to let go of, and I want just to challenge you to come forward and lay it down at the altar right up here. Let's just pray right now. And then I'm going to give everyone opportunity to come up here and just deal with God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have great things for us. That you have a great destiny. That you have great gifts for us. And Lord, if there is something holding us back from being up here, Father, there is something holding us back from really going on with you, I pray that you reveal it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that you reveal it, reveal the lie, reveal what that is. Right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are God. Though there are times that we don't understand what's happening, there are times that we feel forsaken, there are times that we just don't know. Lord, I thank you right now that you are with us and you have a perfect plan for us. I praise you right now, Father. I say thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name.
So, folks, this is one of the most powerful destiny messages that I've ever heard. And the sense I have is that this is a turning point for many of us, and a turning point for us as a church. So we can stand and say, yeah, I hear what God's saying, but I don't know if I want to do that. then you can't step into all that God has for you. So I just want to encourage you and give you a little more time to say, yeah, God, I'm going to lay down those disappointments. I'm going to lay down my feelings of looking toward the past and what did or didn't happen in the past, and I'm going to move forward into all that you have for me. And as we do that as individuals, then we can do it as families, and as we do it as families, we can do it as a church. So he's given us an opportunity. It's a crossroads. It's a turning point. Yes, you can continue exactly the way you are, or you can be set free today, or you can make a change and move forward into all that he has for you. So we're just going to take a couple more minutes before we dismiss and give you a chance, as God's putting his finger, to say, yes, yes, I give you that disappointment. I give you that frustration. I ask you to forgive me of my bitterness or my resentment or my, I choose to forgive that person who said that thing or did that thing, because I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to stay in the past. I don't want to constantly be looking back and examining that thing and what could have been and what should have been and what might have been. I want to move forward into what is your will now and your direction for the future.